Committee on Human Resources and continue our public hearing today on the Commission for the Blind. But John has a few words he would like to say before we begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to call your attention, committee members, to the handouts that Cheryl provided. We have really two packets of handouts. One is from testimony from the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. We heard many of those persons yesterday. Some of them have written testimony, and you have been given copies of that. In addition, we have some written testimony from persons who wish to testify on the Oregon Commission for the Blind. So we've distributed copies of that written testimony as well. Finally, Madam Chair, I have some more paper for next week for the Senior and Disabled Services Division public hearing that begins on Monday and goes through next Thursday. And I have two reports. One was prepared by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. It is a study of the licensing and certification programs of the Department of Human Resources. The Senior and Disabled Services Division has a licensing program. So that's one report that I would like to hand out to you. The other is a report by the Secretary of State Audits Division entitled Senior and Disabled Services Division, Facility Abuse Complaint Investigations, State Administration, and Adult Foster Home Licensing, calendar year 1996. So I have those two reports to hand out to you today.
And then when we convene a hearing on SDSC, will you go over these somewhat?
Well, I may not summarize. I would like the division to respond to these reports. There may not be much to respond to, but it is something that we have been asked to provide to the committee, and they have been asked to speak to when they have the public hearing and the presentation.
Okay, thank you very much.
Question for John.
Are
the executive
summary?
Well, let's see. Madam Chair, Senator Yeader, looks like there's a summary of the Audit Division one.
Yes.
And let's see, my guess, there is an executive summary in the other one as well.
Don't give us anything without our executive summary.
Right. And I'm surprised, Senator Yee, I thought you liked to spend your evening reading.
Yeah.
As I said, we're going to continue the public hearing on the Commission for the Blind, and I just want to explain why some folks weren't able to testify yesterday, although we did hear from the balance of the folks that were here from vocational rehabilitation. I think there was a little bit of a mix-up the prior day because it wasn't supposed to be a public testimony day, and yet we had public testimony on that day. And so it took some of the time. And then, of course, I did announce when we came in yesterday as well that we were late because of session. And so I am pleased that some of you were able to come back today. We're going to, I will call on the folks that are here and have signed up to testify, and I also understand there's, I have given permission for one of the two-page testimony, an individual who was here yesterday, I think from from Senator Shields' district, was not able to testify and asked that that testimony be read, so that, I will allow that. So, with that, I will begin by calling up Donna Bench and Bob Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. I appreciate being able to share my convictions on the needs of the Elder Blind Program particularly.
Be sure to identify yourself.
I'm sorry. I'm Donna Bench. I live here in Salem.
Thank you, Jill.
I work with a low vision support group, and I think all of the members of that group are over 55, and we have about between 7,000 and 8,000 people in that age bracket that are on waiting lists for services from the Commission for the Blind and there has been no money at all for several months now for elder blind training. And I think that the portion of the budget that deals with that is particularly a burden on mine. But I have one example. We had a lady in our group who was 92. She was feeling very confined to her one-room apartment in Pringle Tower because she didn't know how to use a white cane, didn't know how to get out of the place. They gave her white cane training, and she was able to, she goes all over downtown Salem now. She goes to the Y every day and works out and swims. And you would think she was maybe in her 50s by her level of activity. But to have her confidence restored and be able to continue doing the things that she enjoys that make life meaningful for her was really special to us. And I, we have a total of maybe 45,000 elder blind in the state of Oregon. There's no telling how many of those have not been referred to the Commission for Services. But out of that, between 7,000 and 8,000 is unheard of that are on a waiting list. It's just, I just feel like it's time Oregon took care of its own instead of depending on grants or any other sources. Mm-hmm. If that's all.
Okay, thank you, Donna. Further questions for Vince?
I just wanted to ask what the source of this information was that we have 45,000 elderly blind and 7,000 on a waiting list. What are those 7,000 waiting for, and who is that applied to?
They are waiting for basic services to learn how to use a white cane to navigate. Learn to how to judge where they are in a room or on a block, walking out on the street, so that they know what is right around them, orientation, and then also the basic tasks of daily living are the primary things that are addressed, and that's what these 7,000 or 8,000 are waiting for. And the figures, as I understand it, on the 45,000 came from census evaluation, and the other is a record with the Commission for the Blind of how many have been referred and signed up. And some have not even signed up. They gave up and they were told there were no funds available.
Does that answer your question? It kind of conflicts a little bit with what we heard in the testimony from the Commission, but we will check that out. So, thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Bob? Mr. Johnson?
My name is Bob Johnson. I live here in Salem. I'm single, so I live alone. I'm speaking from my own experience, and that is at the time the commission ran out of money for the elder blind, Mike Bullis was the mobility instructor, and I had just set up an appointment with him for, as my vision got worse, for additional mobility instruction. And at that time, he lost his position due to lack of funds. At the present time, there is only one mobility instructor in the city of Portland and none in the city of Salem. So we have one person for how many thousand blind people. The state has never funded the elder blind program. They have depended on grants and federal funds. And as these grants have dried up, there's simply nothing for us. From a personal viewpoint, it's as if the state of Oregon is telling the elder blind to vote with their feet and leave because they do not care about us. The state of Oregon has funded, through the Oregon Health Plan, has put together a program and funded it to help us die, called assisted suicide, and they have simply refused to fund a program to help us live. And from a personal viewpoint, I really find this offensive, and I agree with Donna Bench that I think it's time that the state of Oregon got together and funded the elder blind program. Mm-hmm.
Further questions, Mr. Johnson? Let's go to
Did you actually ever get your mobility training?
I received my mobility training in Nevada before I came back to Oregon in 94. After Mike was let go, I had received no additional mobility training.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that. Mr. Johnson, I appreciate your comments on how backwards it seems that the state doesn't fund some programs but chooses to fund assisted suicide. I agree with you.
Thank you.
I will call forward Dev Rushing and Edward Whittington. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
We'll start with
Ms. Rushing. All right. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. My name is Bev Rushing. I have been president of the Oregon Council of the Blind for the last 4 years. And with my many years in the Oregon Council of the Blind, I have seen the commission do so many wonderful services for so many blind people, our members as well as other people. And my organization wholeheartedly supports the commission budget for funding their program. One program we're particularly interested in is the Older Blind Program. Last fall at our convention, we passed a resolution with our support for funding for that program, and I understand the Federation for the Blind also did this at their convention last fall. A large number of blind population here in the state are seniors, and they do need services very badly. And one thing that the lack of funding has done is the fact that we lost our teacher here in Salem who taught the older blind. And there are many other good programs with the Oregon Commission for the Blind. Speaking personally for myself, I am very grateful to the commission for the worthwhile employment that they allowed me to have for many years. I ran a large cafeteria at Western Electric Company, and it did a lot to help support my family, my husband and daughter. And of course, my husband has also been employed with the Oregon Commission for the Blind. And so speaking on behalf of my organization and myself, I certainly recommend a due pass on the commission's budget.
Thank you very much. Other questions for Ms. Rushing? If not, Mr. Whittington.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first time that I've been privileged to speak before such a body. I thank you for your patience and forbearance in what I'm about to say. I'm a relatively newcomer to the world of the blind. I lost my vision some 8 or 9 years ago while I was working as a medical missionary doctor in the jungle of Central America. After a period of some 12 years, I flew back to this country for a diagnosis. I was told that I had macular degeneration and that I would ultimately go blind. This proved to be a fact. Being blind for only a short period of 8 years and having mixed with people here in Salem who lost their vision over a long period of time, I can perhaps speak with more specificity about the world of the blind. I would like to touch briefly, ladies and gentlemen, on the psychological aspects of losing one's sight. I function most of my life as a sighted person. 20/20 vision. I consider myself to be a pretty good surgeon. And when I was told that I was going blind, and I didn't notice it, it took a nurse in the operating room to tell me, "Doctor, you're going blind." So insidious. So insidious is the disease of macular degeneration. Ladies and gentlemen, I might tell you, it can happen, I don't know how many people I'm speaking before this afternoon, but it can happen to any one of you. Any one of you. No matter how well you may see right now, any one of you can develop this terrible, terrible affliction. The gift of sight must be certainly one of God's greatest gifts. But the affliction of blindness must be certainly one of mankind's greatest. Last year in July, I returned to France after an absence of some 55 years. I was in World War II, of course. And in speaking to the French there, I learned that they're extremely advanced in their treatment of the blind people, people afflicted with blindness. This has always been the case in France, of course, because it's the birthplace of Louis Braille, who invented the Braille system to assist the blind and able to read. I went primarily back to France to pay my respects to my comrades, but I felt that I should ask somebody what they were doing for their blind in that country. After spending some time in France, I returned to England, where I was born, to save my sister. Her, knowing that I was coming to England, she got in touch with a local blind group in Worcester, the ancient city of Worcester. And so I was privileged to be able to visit them at that facility. And indeed, ladies and gentlemen, I was quite surprised, quite astonished to find out the British people and red blind much, much better than we are able here in the state of Oregon. They have their own facilities. And the last that I heard, they've been given a grant by the British government of some £250,000, which last July valued about $375,000 American, to secure their own building where they could meet. The facilities had Braille beneath, all of the latest instruments for assisting the blind. The second floor was a cafeteria. The third floor was a library and school classrooms where they could learn languages. I was astonished to know that the blind people in Great Britain travel all over the British Isles, assisted by their own government. They also travel to Europe in blind groups. I've been somewhat astonished, perplexed, and somewhat saddened by the cavalier attitude towards the blind. I'm sorry that the audience here today to speak to you on behalf of the blind is sparse. This is due to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that when you become blind, you become extremely lonely. Extremely lonely. The psychological aspects of blindness is when you're first told that you're going to lose your sight, one of shock and disbelief. You don't believe it. Can't be so. The next is anger. You get angry. The frustration factor, the FF factor, as I call it. After that becomes remorse. And after that come the tears, ladies and gentlemen. And believe you me, I've shed a lot of tears in 8 years that I've been blind. Not tears of sympathy, but anger. and that you have to rely upon other people to do things for you that you could do yourself. No problem. Things that are evident to the sighted become obstacles to the blind. The curb at the corner of the street, the lamppost, the sidewalks, potholes, they become hazards. You fall over them. And you get angry. You pick yourself up and you get angry. You have tears in your eyes. Having seen what other countries can do, ladies and gentlemen, as a very staunch American, I would urge you fervently, fervently, to do all that you can to assist the blind in this state. Great things are needed from great states. We are a great state. I know that with your assistance, we can do a lot to improve the sad lot of those people who are afflicted with blindness in the state of Oregon. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your forbearance and your patience in listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Whittington. Senator Yee?
Mr. Whittington, you say blindness can happen to anybody. Can you tell us why you say that?
I'm sorry, was someone addressing
yeah.
a question
yeah.
to me?
Yes, Mr. Whittington.
Mr. Whittington, you say that blindness can happen to anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah, can you explain why do you say that?
Yes. There are several diseases that affect the retina of the eye. Macular degeneration is one of them, and retinitis pigmentosa is another one of them. When I flew back to New Orleans and was diagnosed with macular degeneration, I didn't even know what the eye surgeons were talking about. As a medical doctor, I was a general surgeon. I didn't know anything about loss of eyesight. But it can happen to anyone, and it is insidious. As I said, it took one of my nurses in the operating room to tell me I was losing my sight. That's how it is.
I guess it comes with age. Aging.
There are estimated 10 million people in these United States who are afflicted with macular degeneration, for which, ladies and gentlemen, there is no cure. No cure either by surgical intervention or by any drug therapy. Research is going on in this area. But I just had my 76th birthday and I very much doubt before I go to my maker I will ever see through my own eyes again. Are there any more questions?
Yes, Representative Ross has a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you receive any services from the Commission for the Blind? Did they do any training for you?
No. After I arrived in the state of Oregon 4 years last October, I asked a friend, were there any services for the blind? He said, I don't think so, Dad. He said, there's a school for the blind children down by the hospital. He said, I will ask around. And so he asked and asked. In the meantime, I made inquiries of my own. And it wasn't for the lack of trying. I could find no one. My wife, sure, by chance, found the Commission for Blind phone number hidden away in the phone book. I called them on two occasions and left my phone number. They never responded to my phone calls. Purely by chance, only a matter of 8 to 10 weeks ago, I made a contact with a lady who spoke to you just a short while ago. And Northwest Vision, or Visions Northwest, is the first meeting that I have attended. So it took me approximately 4.5 years to find out the services for the blind exist here in this great state of Oregon. I would put down the lack of representation today, I am told there are only about 20 of us here, put the lack of representation down primarily to the fact that for the blind it's very hard to find out what is happening. Luckily, I have a spouse and she can read the phone book. But for people who live on their own, lonely, dispirited people, it's very difficult for them. They go to the neighbors, cavalier attitude, indifference. You're blind. I feel a little sorry for it, but I've got some meat in the oven. I'm going to take care of that. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That is the attitude which I've been confronted with since I lost my vision. I wish it were not so, but that is it. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we need help. I would assume you're all sighted people. So you have one advantage over us. You can see. We can't. As a world of difference between the sighted and the unsighted, believe you me. I never dreamed as a young man that I would ever go blind. Lose a limb in the war, perhaps? Oh, yeah, sure, I was wounded in the war. No big thing. I might suffer from migraine headaches most of my life. Or I might choose to take drugs. The blindness, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I will never go blind. Not me. The other guy, he will go blind. Not me. Not me. That, ladies and gentlemen, in brief, is what confronts the world of those people who have lost their vision. Extremely sad. Sad indeed. I had my own orphanage down in the jungle, which took me 12 years to build. I lost that. My research project into tropical diseases, I lost that. More importantly, I lost my patience. And for a doctor, this is very, very hard. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Whittington. We appreciate your testimony. And we will try to act in a responsible manner. Okay, Eugene, Oregon? Oregon. Not Oregon. Not Oregon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Eugene Oregon, and I am the Executive Director of the Oregon Disabilities Commission. I'm here this afternoon to speak on behalf of the Commission for the Blind's budget, and I want to do so as a client of the Commission for the Blind. I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that I'm also legally blind. I've had Stargardt's disease since I was 9 or thereabouts, and my vision is 20 over 700. That doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, but picture yourself if you have 20/20 vision, but you can see at 700 feet, I would have to be within 20 feet to see it. That's a rough idea of what it is. And as a result of that condition, I have been a client of the Commission for the Blind. They assisted me when I was a graduate student at the University of Oregon, and I think most telling is that about 3 years ago now, I was diagnosed with diabetes. Back up. First of all, I had multiple sclerosis. That's what the wheelchair is about. So I'm the only legally blind driver in Oregon, I think. You might be aware of that when you see me coming down the hall, because I may not see you. Anyway, about 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes, and it wasn't diagnosed until I had lapsed into a coma. And I was in the hospital in a coma for 6 days. Came home, and after my stay in the hospital, and when I returned home, a counselor from the Commission for the Blind stopped by my home just to check in with me. And her first question out of her mouth was, what can we do to help you get back to work? I hadn't thought about it. I really had just, I was coping with a new disease, and I hadn't given much thought about how am I going to go back to work, how am I going to maintain my job. That was her attitude. And it wasn't, what can we do for you, you poor person? It was very clearly, how can we help you? And that's a very different attitude than I've received in other circumstances. And I applaud the commission for their commitment to the independence of people and their respect for people with whom they are working. I urge you to pass their budget and to maintain the wonderful programs that exist at the Commission for the Blind. They do an incredible job, and I think they ought to be recognized for that with the passage of a budget. If you have any questions, I'd be pleased to answer them. Thank you.
Other questions, Mr. Morgan? A couple of them. Senator Shields.
And you heard the testimony of the surgeon that just spoke before you came to the podium. How do you explain the fact of good services on the one hand that you've experienced and that we've heard a lot of testimony about, and the fact that he was here for some 4.5 years? And is it a staffing problem? Is it information dispersion? What do you?
Ms. Shields, the manager, the issue I think is probably the latter. Our commission happens to have a toll-free phone number, and we are published in most phone books around the state. We receive between 6 and 10 phone calls a day from people throughout the state who are looking for disability services of one sort or another. Because we have that phone number, it says disability, it's 800, we get a lot of those calls. And we refer them on to the Commission for the Blind, Book Rehab, Senior Disabled Services Division, whatever kind of services they're looking for. And I think very much it's an information referral issue. There has to be a source where people can get that kind of basic information. And I know our staff sometimes wrings their hands when they're busy doing something else and a phone call comes in wanting to know how to get disability if they're pregnant. But someone has to answer the questions. And I think we're pleased to do that, but we can't begin to reach everyone with the kind of staff that we have. And I'm sure the Commission for the Blind is in the same position. Once you make yourself known to them, and once you become a client of theirs, I certainly found the services to be excellent. I don't know if I answered the question or not.
Senator, you had a question? Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ogden, how do you drive your wheelchair being legally blind?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee.
You don't have a white cane.
I do have a white cane, but it's back at the office. But we considered some way of marking the wheelchair so that it's white so people can tell. The day before I left the house, I was going to put on sunglasses because I know it's going to be a nice day. That may be, I thought to myself at the time, that may be one of the ways in which I let people know that this person has a visual impairment. I do have enough vision, obviously, to get around. It's low, and people have been known to jump out of my way if they know me. That's the best I can answer. Sorry.
Madam Chair.
Senator Fisher?
There's times I would answer that, Senator, with the knowledge of my daughter, who can get around but who cannot distinguish any type of staff or portion of the step or a curb or something like that, but can see the difference between light and night and day, or, you know, the dark and light and that kind of thing, and gets around quite well in a home where they're familiar.
Right.
But the minute you get out, there's so many things that you can't see, and she fell and injured herself several different times before she finally realized that she needed to take precautions and have a guide dog and so forth, or use the cane, and it's hard for her to come by. And people actually would come to her when she started using the cane, think she was putting on an act because she hadn't used it before, even though her eyesight had been fairly good and then deteriorated over a period of time. Very frustrating to her, and it's wonderful that she can still see good enough to get around on that cart. And I was just joshing her a little bit. He came to my office, and I've got a corner getting out of my office there that's big enough. He was having trouble. His hindsight isn't as good as his foresight. And we got to laughter, so I rearranged the chairs in my office, and came to my office, turned around, and got out very nicely forward.
I tried to rearrange it for you, but failed. It sounds really a joking matter, and I don't mean to make light of it, except that's my condition. I've been living with it for long enough now that it needs a laugh rather. Or you can really be pulled under by it. I think for the people who are blind and totally blind, I think there is a real need for services and for information. And I think the Commission for the Blind, with the budget that they've got, does a remarkable job of getting that information out. There are holes, and I know there are, and I would be happy to work with the Commission staff to see if we can do a superior job of covering the state with information.
Representative Ross.
Eugene, this is Barbara Ross, a representative from Corvallis, and I've met you on a number of occasions. We're alarmed to hear that we have 7,000 elderly blind persons on a waiting list for services. Are you and the other blind people that are advocates, are you worried about this? Is this something that you've been concerned about as well?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, I hadn't heard that figure until today. I'm very anxious to check that with the Commission Office, because if that is an accurate figure, yes, that is alarming. And I think the Elder Blind Program is operated at the Commission. Is extremely valuable for people who are at end-of-life situations, first of all, and then to lose their sight in addition to that. It has to create a very traumatic situation for those people. And I plan to check with the Commission for the Blind staff to determine if that's a correct figure. Because
thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You are waiting to watch me get up here now.
That's right. Watch out, anybody. Now, there's some testimony to be read. Did you want to read this testimony? Senator Shields is going to read it. Yes.
No, I see.
For the record, my name is Linda Mock, but I'm reading a written testimony that was submitted by Mary Ann Topolowski. She sent it to me on email this morning and asked if I would bring it to the committee, and really hoped that someone would be able to read it to you since she couldn't be here today. 2 years ago, when I first began my training at the Oregon Commission for the Blind, I realized that I had so much to learn, so much that I simply didn't know. Imagine moving 3,000 miles away from your family, only to realize that they did most everything for you. when I talked about my enrollment into the training center with my counselor, he was very open and honest with me. Mary Ann, you are not employable, he said. This is a hard pill to swallow, but it was the truth. I had very little work experience, no modern computer skills, and all I knew was that I wanted to work with people. Not only were my job skills weak, but I didn't know how to live independently. Growing up, I never realized that I learned to like bread without butter because I didn't know how to spread the butter myself. Imagine being petrified to eat a steak in front of a new friend because you didn't want them to know that you couldn't cut it yourself. I used to talk to my family and friends into taking me places since I didn't know how to use a cane at all, nor did I have the skills to use public transportation. Imagine not knowing how to use a vacuum cleaner, how to mop a kitchen floor, or even how to stir together the making for a simple tuna fish sandwich. Imagine not knowing what exactly an intersection was, or how to walk across the street in a straight line. It was a crushing experience being completely in tears with fear that you would be hit by your parallel oncoming traffic. That was what it used to be like for me. While I was staying in one of the apartments provided by the commission, I became a completely different person. The Technology Center staff trained me to be an avid user of Microsoft Windows 95 and many of its accompanying software applications. They had provided me with a speech software that would allow me to use Windows without having to see the screen. It was in their Technology Center that I learned how to use the World Wide Web, which was the biggest asset to my employment today. During my training, I was given a brand new cane that was just right for my height. Then, with my instructor by my side, I learned how to travel independently, how to properly use my cane so that I was protected against surprises on the sidewalks or streets, how to use my traffic as my guide, how to take a bus from one end of Hillsborough to southeast Portland. Then I learned how to pick any location in the area and devise my own route and find my way there alone. After many of my classes at the training center, I would walk away with tears in my eyes. I realized that I was overcoming barriers. I was doing things I only dreamed about. I was becoming a whole person. Was there ever something in your life that you've always wanted to pursue but couldn't because you didn't have the money to buy that special tennis racket or that new trumpet or the ballet or acting lessons you always wanted? I found a dream, and I didn't have the funds to make it come true. But I went to my counselor at the commission, and they made it happen. I found employment on the Oregonian website. When I found this position, I was already holding down a part-time telemarketing job that I hated, but was simply doing because I'd made a decision to never be out of work again. I had help from the commission to write my resume, and I sent this to the company. 2 days later, I was asked to come for an interview. At that point, I picked up the books I'd received from the commission during my training and began refreshing myself on the proper way to conduct myself during an interview. In reading these books, I learned that I really wanted to impress this organization. So I researched the company on their website, and then I had the interview. It was only a week later that they hired me. Here was my dream, to work for a marketing research organization as a team player to gather useful information while interacting with people. Ruth Lazzari from the Technology Center spent countless hours at my job site evaluating and adapting everything so my job was done as efficiently as everyone else was doing theirs. My counselor purchased every bit of equipment that I needed. I needed a refreshable braille display so that I could read the screen out loud. I got it. I needed speech software so that I could hear some important information quickly during a telephone interview. I got it. I needed a computer because the company didn't have one with extra ports for hooking up extra equipment. I got it. I needed a headset that provided the phone in one ear and the speech in the other. I needed a braille embosser to print scripts. I needed a type and speak to take notes during work days. I needed translation software that I could use to get the materials ready to be embossed into braille. All of these things were handed to me. Within 2 months, I was ready for work. Today, April 15th, is my 6-month anniversary of working with Riggs Anderson Research. I have just gone from part-time to full-time employment, making $9 per hour with full benefits. I love what I do, and I'm thankful every day that I'm part of a team as outstanding as Riggs Anderson Research. Just ask my boss. He'll tell you. In 6 months, I will no longer be living with a roommate. By then, I will have saved enough money to move into an apartment alone. At that point, my dream of being truly independent will come true. I wish that I could have said these things as I stood at the podium, but I needed to be doing research to fulfill my part of a team. Only I hope that you can feel my joy through my writing and that the Oregon Commission for the Blind can count on your support. It is this kind of support that helps us realize the power of the dream. Sincerely, Mary Ann Papalisi. Mary Ann is totally blind from birth, and she's about probably 24 years old. So.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the reading of that testimony. It is encouraging. Is there anybody else in the room that would like to testify that has not signed up? Okay. I don't see anybody that wishes to do that. And that we have concluded then our committee hearing for today. So we will adjourn. And again, thank you all for participating. And we're going to revisit this commission and the issues of the budget. So we thank you for testifying today.
We don't do the budget.